Hello and welcome. This is the 13th edition of All Systems Go, the podcast where four people you don't know and probably don't care about talk about video games and other sorts of geek culture surrounding video games. I'm glad you could join us this week. My name is Tim. You might know me better as Graduated Gamer. You can find me out on the Twitter sphere at Graduated_Gamer. With me this week, as always, are my three fantastic co-hosts. We have the fabulous twins Reen and Lessa. I would like the girls to say hello. What's going on?
Hey, what'd you call it? Twitter sphere? I really like that. It's like a little globe of its own.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. ReenAVA on Twitter. I always get confused because I want to say at ReenAVA and put two ats in there, but it's just ReenAVA at on Twitter, if that makes sense.
It does.
I follow.
There you go.
Okay, cool.
Get it?
And
I follow.
My dear.
Oh, I get it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Les.
Yes, the twin over here, Les Awake, also known as At a Talented Friend on the Twitter sphere. Hi, how you doing?
We're doing great, and I'm sure the people listening are also doing fantastic.
I'm sure they said out loud,
they were like,
fantastic, Lessa, thank you for
of
asking.
Of course, of course. Oh, and of course, my main man, Joel. What's up?
Oh, hello. Just, drug myself in and out from the cold to record a podcast.
No, but it was like 25 degrees today. It was very
warm.
That's
true. I was out in a t-shirt and shorts.
I know. I went for a run outdoors. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's practically summer already.
So,
yeah.
Basically.
It's not at all.
No.
Get me out of here.
Where can the people follow you?
They can follow me at my creative, very original Twitter handle, Joel Cieslak. At Joel Cieslak. And, That's where you go.
You can also follow Joel to his house, but he will probably put a restraining order on
you
as well. So.
Or we could hang out. We could hang out and play video games, you know, either way.
Yeah, that's true. If you like Mario Party,
depends.
I'm sure.
Yeah, if you don't, then restraining order.
Exactly.
What if you want to play Luigi?
Ooh, get the fuck out.
My roommate's got a pit bull, so we'll just leave it at that.
Nice. So there you go. That is our fantastic roundtable every week here on All Systems Go. We're going to go ahead and start things off like we do every podcast with a segment called What's in Your System, where we'll all tell you listeners what we've been playing since the last podcast. It's been 2 weeks now, I think, since our last recording. So Joel, what's in your system? What have you been playing lately?
Still doing the FIFA. Managed to qualify with the tiny little oceanic island called New Caledonia. Qualified for the World Cup.
Okay.
On a group sorting error by EA, I technically finished second in my qualifying group, but because EA is bad at math, they put me first.
All
and
right.
I ended up qualifying.
Was
so,
it because they didn't know how to do aggregate or what?
They didn't know. They had the tiebreaker ordered wrong from the official.
Another quality feeder. Product from EA.
Yeah, they really do their research and they really play test their games really well. That's what I love about them.
Jeez.
And they certainly don't churn out, you know, the same repetitive game every year. So
I feel like each of our podcasts could be called Joel Qualifies as Bulgaria. And episode 14, Joel Qualifies as Croatia.
A new random nation every
exactly.
week.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I second that. I would actually watch every episode.
I would too. I'd be actually kind of curious to see Joel's Twitch plays.
Yeah, I just rage at EA for like the whole time.
Exactly. Anything else?
Well, I think I should bring this up because I didn't last time, but I played some Evil Within.
Oh.
I know Les and Reen may want to discuss that a bit. And I got into the first three chapters, I think they call it. So I haven't gotten too far. I just know it was me and my future brother-in-law. He rented it, and we were like slowly working our way to like this big like castle-looking thing across like a lake. So I don't know.
The lighthouse?
Hospital.
Oh, it's a hospital? Okay. I didn't even know what it was.
What's the lighthouse on top of the hospital?
He just looks out at it like, I feel like I'm being drawn in to its glow. It's
ominous glow.
Oh,
I love that chapter!
Yeah.
So wait, there's a lighthouse and a hospital. Isn't there also a lighthouse and a hospital in Silent Hill, or am I mistaken?
Well, there's Alchemilla Hospital for Silent Hill, and I forget about the lighthouse.
Maybe there's
not. But there's probably a lighthouse.
Okay. Yeah, I thought there was a lighthouse. Like, it just sounds like all these horror games
yeah,
sort of steal
number
from
one.
One another. Yeah,
pretty
exactly.
Much.
So anyway.
What I like about that game, the way you update your upgrade your like abilities, you like strap yourself into this like doctor's chair, and then, like this helmet thing comes down, and they like inject something into your head like each time you purchase an upgrade for like a speed or a health up.
I love
it's like
that
extremely thing. Violent.
Sounds very One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest style.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Alright.
Clockwork Orange.
Anything else terrifying in your system or otherwise?
No.
Speedrunning normal or not?
Not really lately. I've been playing Pokemon with a lot of people, but we'll get to that.
Playing what?
Oh, you know.
Pokemon?
Pokemon!
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just with a couple of thousand other friends.
Oh, right. Ah, got it. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move on then. We don't want to spoil the next segment down the line.
Sure, no one
down
knows
the line.
What we're talking
and
about.
Definitely not Twitch plays Pokemon. Shit.
What?
Damn it. All right. I don't know. Lessa, what do you got in your system?
Okay, well, this week, I think I can also speak for Reen, but our system was kind of limited with midterms. There wasn't much time for video games, but 2 days ago, we did restart Silent Hill Downpour, I think it was. Downpour, Reen? Yes. Downpour, after seeing a picture on the side of Resident Evil Wikia about creatures, specifically one of the enemies in Silent Hill, which we haven't seen before. And then from there, we got wrapped up in thinking about how we could do a Silent Hill or Walking Dead crossover and stop playing and jot down a few ideas. And yeah, that was probably like the basis.
Always on the fan
games.
Fiction trail? Is that what you're thinking, perhaps? Maybe a little...
Yeah, it was something new. But then, aside from that, I know for me, besides the random attacks of writer's block, I've still been playing Battle Camp by Penny Pop. I think I talked about it last podcast,
you
but
did.
Nothing's really changed.
I fucking hate that goddamn game. I'm gonna sneak on and delete all of your data on your phone, because I really don't like that game.
That's malicious.
It's a double swear.
I think that might be a hate crime.
You know you won't, Rainy.
This will be evidence if that ever happens.
I will, because Lessa comes into my room, she sits in my bed, what are you doing? And I'm like, what we talking about, what I'm doing? And she's all like, take. I'm like, you're on that fucking game, I don't even have to turn around. And she's all like, look at me, I look at her, and then she shuts her screen off on her phone. I'm like, oh, I fucking swear to God, give me your phone. I'm gonna, oh, I really do not
you're
like this game.
You're just jealous because you don't have a Daryl in your pack, okay? You're jealous.
Joel, you saw the Super Bowl commercials with Liam Neeson for the Clash of Clans.
Yes.
It kind of sounds like the situation where, except, like, Reen is Liam Neeson and is threatening Lessa just for playing the game. Basically, like, I will find you and I will delete your data.
Particular set of skills.
Exactly. Which is basically being across the hallway from you and having access to your cell phone.
Yep.
Okay, well, apart from mobile gaming and fan fiction and everything like that, anything else going on?
Besides midterms, like Lessa said,
you
no.
You guys are like the most responsible college students, because when I was in college and I had midterms or finals, I would use video games as a distraction to not study, and then be like, I'm fine with a B-, or a C+, I don't care.
Well, technically, we go to class for like one class is 3 hours, another one's like an hour to 40 minutes to an hour, and then we get home, because it's an hour drive there and back.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're like, we leave at like 9:30 in the morning, and then we come back at like 5:30, and then there's not much to do, either painting homework or our video course that we're taking for like a art video, and then it's either stay up for like 3 hours, write fan fiction, put a video game in for like a couple hours, and then go to sleep. So like that's
it. Never gets past the sleep stage though. It's kind of like, I have to take a shower. Oh, when I take a shower, I just want to relax. Oh, that means I'm gonna go to sleep. Oh, and then just yep, and then wake up and restart, repeat.
Yeah. Well, I forgot you guys had that commute. You lose 2 hours every day to that. I would lose like 20 minutes a day for commuting because I was walking. So it's a whole other story. But all right, very good. So, Reen, anything new or basically the same situation? Yeah, with Lessa, nothing at all.
Basically what she said.
Okay.
With the Silent Hill Downpour, and then we just put it back in, and we didn't get very far because we were like, fan fiction idea, bam! And then it's like 3 days later, weekend's gone.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully, now that midterms are winding down, you guys will have, you know, a lot of games you can be sharing with us next week or next podcast, yeah?
It's so funny. Every time I do this, go to start midterms, I always want to put Ni No Kuni in and try to get past the trial, because that's where I am in the game, where I have to get past the desert. I think it was the trials, wasn't
it? Yeah, I remember what you were on. Yeah.
So it's funny, every time I joke with Reen about it, I'm like, you know, I should go just put in Ni No Kuni, treat like a midterm, get past the trials, and she's like, go do it! And I was like, I'm too lazy.
It is like an exam in the game, so it counts.
Yeah, and I think like Resident Evil Revelations 2 comes out in like 2 or 3 days, but I'm waiting for the retail disc version because there's so much more content, and I'm like staying away from all these articles now, so Resident Evil is off my list for like the next 4 weeks.
Okay,
because
so
until the retail disc comes out, yeah.
So no spoilers for you.
No spoilers.
That's good.
Okay, that's what happened last week, Green. Remember we were on fan fiction site, and then we were like, oh, well, no one's really going to post any Walking Dead spoilers about tonight's episode.
Never
assume that.
And
then we click it, and then there's... Yeah, I know. Green just clicks the button, and then I was like, seriously? Seriously? And she's like, oh, my God. And so we basically just ruined the whole last week's episode. But
we had our sneaking suspicion, so it confirmed what we thought was going to happen.
I know, but I wanted to watch it. I didn't want to see a one-liner because my eyes are too fast for my damn brain. But, okay.
One of these days, I promise, okay, I will catch up so you guys can talk about it to me, you know, with me on the podcast and not spoil anything for me. And I don't think Joel cares, so...
You can talk about it at me.
At me, yes. Talk at me. All right, well, I'll go through mine. I just finished... what did I finish? Shite. Well, I played Rayman Legends. Started playing that.
I want to hear about that.
Very fun game. I've never played a Rayman game before, but
I hadn't really either before this one.
Yeah, but I did read that Legends was just a phenomenal platformer and very fun, and my fiance and I are just loving it. And there are these levels that are musical levels I've heard about, and the very first one was Black Betty themed, and it was amazing. So I'm just sitting there like jamming to the song, and it's just like this, it's like a very fun level that like doesn't have a lot of pressure on you. It's just kind of like a celebration after you beat a boss. So those are really fun. It's just very, it's challenging in all the right ways, without being as frustrating as some others like Battle Block Theater or another game I've been playing recently, which I'll get to. I did start playing Katamari Damacy for the PlayStation 2 because I asked the 52 game challenge community to help me pick my next game. Got into that a little bit. I'm a little behind just because Rayman Legends has been amazing.
Right.
So, and then the other game I started playing, which was just a piece of shit, is Little Big Planet 3. And that was very disappointing because I love Little Big Planet 2, as is my fiance. We played that one together and had a lot of fun with, like, you know, just... It was a decent platformer. There were some quirks to it that I didn't like as much, but this one is just, it's buggy, it's broken in a lot of areas. You glitch through walls, like the background, you glitch into the background, which isn't even like, it's, you're not even supposed to go there at all, and I don't know, it's just, it's very broken, and sometimes you die very cheap deaths, and
not by EA, is it?
No, it's by Sumo something, I can't remember what it's called, but yeah. They've made good games. I mean, Little Big Planet, the original, like, came out of nowhere and won Game of the Year for a lot of awards.
Right.
And beat out a lot of really good titles. And number two was a good continuation, but three I just cannot bring myself to... I'm trying just to get through it so I can mark it down for my 52-game challenge and then just destroy it in my write-up because I hate it so much. I got to get my revenge on it somehow. But those are the ones I've been playing a lot recently. I can't remember
the ones... Did you ever play Little Big Planet 1?
No, I did not play the first one, but I heard that the second one was very similar.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, Little Big Planet 3, I stopped listening to Little Big Planets after 2 because I didn't think... Because I thought it's, like, the same game, they should just bring out DLC content for it because I didn't see a point.
Yeah.
It was, like, the same game.
That's what I'd heard, so that's why I didn't get number 1, because we bought number 2. And or actually, I got it in like a Craigslist bundle from a guy I bought my PS3 from. And we played it, and it was great. And I looked into buying the first one, but then everything I read was like, number two was knocked for being basically a clone of the first one, with just a few things that are different. Which is unfortunate, because number three adds a lot of different layers and like power-ups and stuff you can do, and like different playable characters. But it's just completely riddled with game-killing bugs, and it's just, I can't play it. That just bugs me. Which inspired a topic in our podcast today. I was just so mad. But
yeah, I think Little Big Planet is the perfect game to play when you're drunk, though, because I know like a friend of ours, when she comes over and we have like a girls' night, we just sit there and like let people join our game, and then we just slap them around.
Okay.
One of those moments.
Yeah, you can definitely slap your... I forgot you could slap other people in it. It is a fun party.
Oh, not literally.
Right, not literally. Oh, the other game I played, Conker's Bad Fur Day, for the N64. Did not like it. I can't really describe why, I just did not like it. I think a lot of games that I didn't play on the N64, when I try and play them in the future, because I don't have that nostalgia factor, they kind of fall short because the camera sucks. The controls
are they're just not as good.
They're just not. And plus my controller, the stick tightness I would rate is like a 2. It's not a good controller. So that didn't help the matter. But yeah, so I've been playing a lot of stuff the last couple of weeks, but that about does it for what's in my system and what's in our system. So I think we can go ahead and move on to a topic that I don't know if anyone's been paying attention to, a lot of news sources and outlets and people on Twitter and fanboys ranting, but The Order 1886 is this game by Sony. Big AAA title that people have been excited about for the better part of a year and a half or so since it was announced. And a video, a walkthrough leaked, or when they leaked, someone posted a walkthrough on YouTube of the game and went through the entire thing, and it clocked out at about 6 hours for the game, which caused a huge uproar of people saying, 6 hours for a $60 game, like, I don't care how good it looks or whatever, like, it's too short. I can't pay $60 for a game like that. And so a bunch of people got pissed off and started getting really nasty about the game, and it caused this big debate about cost versus length and quality versus quantity and etc. So I even had an actual very cordial and responsible talk with a gentleman on Twitter. I believe it's Bob God of Moogles, who's a really good guy on Twitter. He's pretty level-headed. We had a nice discussion about it, and I wanted to talk to my panel here, my co-hosts, about what they think. If you were excited about a game and it's a full price $60 game, but you found out it was like 5, 6, 7 hours long, would you be a little pissed off? Would you still want to buy it? Would it deter you from the game? I'm kind of curious to know what people think.
I think it has to have very high replay value if it's that short, and it also depends on the type of game. Like if it's supposed to be, I don't even know, like what genre is The Order?
It's like I think it's a third person shooter, or I think it's like kind of over the shoulder ish shooter slash almost adventure kind of game.
Okay.
I think you're basically set in the past, and you're tasked with kind of destroying creatures that should not exist and kind of keeping them from, you know, expanding into the public knowledge.
Okay. For that style game, the way you described it, I would probably want it to be much longer, yeah. So that sounds like something, it's like more adventure-oriented, you're expecting kind of a more fulfilling experience, mm-hmm. something that you're really going to invest your time into.
Yeah.
And when you've already invested that much money in, so yeah, I would expect it to be like at least twice as long or something. Yeah. If it's like a platformer and it's got like high replay value, like Mario 64 or something like that, then mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind. But if it's something like that or like a Zelda type game, yeah, I think it should definitely be much longer.
But before the girls chime in, I just want to know, it is... it is noted as a third-person shooter and also a subgenre of action-adventure. But I've also heard it's like a shooter on rails, almost. Like, you can't really deviate much in the game. Plus, the 6 hours included the cutscenes, which you cannot skip. So, mm-hmm. just to note that. So, want to hear from the ladies what they think on the length of the game.
I would kind of want a longer game if it's, like, I don't know. I'm just... Let me pend. Let it go to the satellite and back on my thoughts. Lessa, go ahead.
I mean, I preferably like shorter video games because of, like, basically school and because how it's getting harder and harder to sit my ass down and commit myself to, like, a 40-hour-plus game or even the general, like, 14-hour game.
Yeah.
But for, like, a 6-hour game at that price, then cost-wise, yes, it would be nicer for shorter games that have that price variation because, I just think if it was lesser money, lesser is a word, to put your time towards a game that, like how you said, quantity over quality,
mm-hmm.
or I think, yeah, did you say that?
Well, yeah, quantity versus quality is kind of the idea here, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. Sorry, I broke up for a minute. But yeah, I think that the price should be like, bumped down at least like a tenth or something, like maybe a $40 instead of $60, that, I don't know. Yeah.
Because that was one thing that I was thinking as well, is I'm not advocating for, like, an industry-wide understanding and, you know, almost written law that if your game is falls within this length range, it has to be this much money. Or, you know, like, that is silly. That would be shitty, because then you'd have people, basically like how they used to pay people by word for writing a book. And you got books like Little Women that just drone on and on about the Christmas tree in the first chapter, and then I close the book and throw it in the fire. But I didn't actually burn books. I'm just kidding.
Really did that?
No. Was that?
They really...
From what I recall, I tried reading it back in like fifth grade when it was on the reading list, and I remember the first chapter just being so dry and boring, because they were just talking about Christmas time at the in the house, and like how the tree was this, that, and the other. And you look outside, and there's this landscape and deer and birds, and then the hearth looks like this, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm like seven pages in and not a single goddamn person is in the room, like, Jesus, Louisa May Alcott, say something of substance. This has been Tim's book review of Little Women. so that is a problem, I think, because then you get people putting a bunch of crap filler into a game. But I think it might be something that game developers should have in mind and say, if we're going to put out a title that is, you know, going to be less than 10 hours long, instead of the $60 MSRP, you put it down to maybe $50. Because let's be honest, if you drop a price down because it's a little shorter, you might get people to say, you know what, I agree with that, I still want to buy it, and you lower the price, and maybe more people will buy in, and you might actually make more money. Because you would actually say, you know what, consumer, you're right, we're giving you a high-quality product, but we're going to give it to you for a little cheaper because the quantity is lower. So there's it's like a combination. You have to have a good quality and maybe some good quantity, but not always, because games like Ico have great quality, but they're like 3 hours long, but I still wouldn't pay $50 or $60 for it. I never did pay that much money for it. I would only pay like $20 or $30 for a title like that because it's so damn short. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, Rena, has the satellite pinged back your thoughts yet?
Yeah, I think I agree with, like, where you and Lessa were going, where if I was, a consumer of video games or, like, a customer, and there was a game coming out that was, yeah, maybe, like, say, for instance, 5 hours, and it was $60, I'd be like, are you effing kidding me? You might want to jack that price down. I'll wait for it, mm-hmm. instead of just jumping the gun and saying, all right, you have my shut up and take my money type of ordeal. But I feel like a good comparison I could do it like this kind of thing too is Resident Evil Revelations 2. I have to get Resident Evil in somehow.
You already did earlier. But I don't know what you're saying, but
well, I have to go into more detail, darling. But they're bringing out the episodes per week that are like, it's going to be $39, and I'm like, okay. But then it all of a sudden it goes up to $59 because you get more content with the retail disc, and I'm like, why would I want to spend less money for less content when I can get the full content for like the right price?
Mm-hmm.
If that even made sense.
Yeah.
Also depends on the features too. Like, does it have online multiplayer, this game, or?
You know, I did not look into multiplayer because I don't really care about multiplayer online. But I don't know. I can do a quick little look into it. But
that adds a lot of replay value, and maybe then it would be worth it to some people.
Yeah,
they can just possibly play that over and over.
I mean, there's still option that I guess. It looks like according to IGN, but this was last year. It will not have multiplayer.
Okay, that's way too expensive.
They might have DLC coming out, which might add multiplayer. Possibly, who knows? I mean, that can always happen. But it looks like it's almost strictly a single player only game at this moment, a 6 to 8 hour. So, and they said the only replay value is to do the little exploration you can do in the game to unlock trophies, which is not much exploration, because again, it's like a game on rails. But yeah, a little disappointing. So, but I'll kind of tie this in to our next topic a bit. But is the length of the game, like, if a game you really looked forward to, I don't know, let's say a new Resident Evil game. Well, that might be not a good example because they would buy with that if it was like an hour long and was rated a 3 on Metacritic. Any game you're looking forward to, would you not buy it? Would you refuse to buy it if because of the length of the game? Is that a killer for you?
I think if it interested me enough, I would buy it and play it.
Okay.
What was the question?
I'm just saying, if you found out a game you were looking forward to when it was about to be released, they announced that it was going to be, you know, strictly a solo game where you could, it was only going to be like less than 10 hours gameplay, and that was it. Like, there would be no high replayability to the game. Would that be a game killer for, like, you could not buy that game then? At least when it releases?
I would just hope that those would have to be the best 10 hours of my life for that game and maybe hit certain points of my expectations. But if it didn't, I would be like, to hell with you, person who created this game, and add more content and I'll come back.
Okay.
Yeah, don't give us an incomplete game and add more DLC to make it a complete game.
Yeah, DLC is the worst.
Yeah, agreed. Because then it just adds more cost to a game that, again, put the damn DLC into the game, like, originally. Like, delay the game for me if you have to and make it a better game, but...
Except for adding Mewtwo into the new Smash Bros. That's pretty cool.
Well, I still think it's a bunch of bullshit, but, yeah, you know. Well, that kind of ties into the next topic, because I was thinking about mostly Little Big Planet 3 when I wrote this, but the whole hullabaloo, as I called it, everyone know, of the Order's 1886, the Order 1886 game being so short, you know, I kind of was curious to know what, if you were to play a game, you didn't know about the flaws, let's say you picked it up blind at a game, or at a store, and started playing it at home, and something happened where you're just like, I'm done with this game. You throw the controller aside, you rip the game out of the console, you snap it, you burn it, and you bury the ashes as deep as you can in the earth. What is the thing, a flaw in a game, or something negative about a game that you cannot look past that would just ruin it for you? Joel looks like you got something.
I've been trying to stop playing FIFA for a long time, but, like, I'm too much of a masochist. I just keep going.
Yeah.
There's, like, so much wrong with that game. It's totally broken.
FIFA, right?
Yeah, the newest, the 2014 World Cup edition. But it's just so, when you actually succeed and qualify, it's just so much fun to have, like, every nation involved and have, like, that realism in that regard where it's, like, you can qualify from anywhere. I find that really fun. So EA's definitely pushed it with me, but I am still playing that game. So I guess if I feel like the game has high enough replay value, that's what I look for the most, I think, because I want, you know, I have, like, no attention span. I want to play something I can do over and over, like FIFA, Mario Party, speedrunning.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, apparently you can even have, like, an amount of glitches that is, like, way above what would normally be considered acceptable. And I'll still play it, so yeah. I'm a sucker.
Well, they have really good AI, and I think I heard, I don't know which one of you said it, but broken AI is a killer for one of the girls. I don't know who said it, though.
It was Rin. Me. Third person. I think broken AI, because if it's the AI's fault that you get a death, that just fucking pisses me off beyond no belief. I'm like, are you kidding me? I had that. It was right in the palm of my hand. All of a sudden, the AI is like, I won't be there to save you. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, how could you? I died. The death is on you, AI, and there was nothing you could have done to save me.
Natalia Engelmann.
So friendly AI is what you're talking about.
We should go to the main control room.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, say, for instance, if they stop moving and get stuck on a door and then there's no way, it's like a checkpoint, and you can't get to the checkpoint because they won't move on to the checkpoint because it's waiting for the AI. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then it's like those parts in the games where the game just freezes, and then you have to, like, I don't know, like, I know it's happened on Resident Evil 6, and then maybe it's just my console because it's a fat little PS3, but, and then Silent Hill Downpour, the game just freezes, and then I have to shut it down, and it goes beep beep, and it comes back on. It's like, this system did not shut down quickly. I'm like, well, fuck you too. I'm just... Yep.
Sounds like you've got a lot of bad experiences.
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting a little traumatic.
I know.
I should move on.
Leslie, you feel the same way?
I mean, for me, what ruins a video game? Yes, the broken AIs, but I mean, if we're focusing on the or the, oh my God, I can't speak, I have Joel's problem. Okay.
You're stroking, man. You're stroking.
Okay, but focusing on the aspect and genre of horror, in video games that diversify from the classic horror. I need complete and utter silence when I play my games. No character speech other than in cutscenes, because then you're allowed to be the voice behind the character and put your own dialogue in. Too many, like, and then too many options are also another thing that really irks me for video game. Like, I don't know if it's anyone.
Like, when they add more features, like, you know, Dead Space, say Dead Space 1, they just had a bench where you go and take your nodes and upgrade your weapons. You're like, I'm the most powerful motherfucker on the ship. Watch out, Necromorphs. And then all of a sudden, Dead Space 3, it's like, we're going to make you craft your weapons. And it's like, why?
You just made me lose my train of thought, but yeah, okay.
Well, what do you mean, Lessa, by too many options? Like, what, like, just, like, too many menu options? Or too many things in a game for you to do, like a lot of side quests and a lot of like RPG elements? Do you prefer it just to be kind of more straightforward and it's you and a knife and a gun versus hordes of enemies, like old school Resident Evil kind of thing?
That, but then also, I forget what game I was looking at a while ago. It might have been like a DC Marvel game, where you can customize your own character. And I know, like, for me, I can really, really get caught up in designing, like, a character that suits my whole, like, sex appeal and everything. But then also with those many options, it's sometimes frustrating and tiring, because then you're like, ugh, I just want to get into the game.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Actually, there's a meme out there where there's, like, there's a two-panel thing. There's a guy sitting at a computer, and it's morning, and it basically says, like, you know, customize your character. And then in the second panel, it's like nighttime, and it's like, should I be male or female? So I think that fits exactly what you just described. I'm gonna have to find that picture and put it on Twitter and tag you in it, because that's perfect for that.
It reminds me of Pokemon.
Almost a good segue. Almost. Hold on. Wait. I know Joel's so excited. Well, I was gonna say, for me, what ruins a video game is, anytime I'm at the store, I swear, it without fail, I'm like looking around, I'm like, oh, this game looks really good. And I flip it over, and goddammit, Luigi's in it. So I'm like, I can't buy this game.
That's it.
It's just, I go up to the counter, I'm like, this is against...
Throw it at the cashier.
I've been kicked out of many a GameStop just for throwing games at employees.
Went to jail at one time.
Oh, jeez, it's terrible. What are you in for? Oh, Luigi. Oh, us too.
Same.
So there we go. The next topic, I was just kind of curious to know, because, you know, our resident speedrunner here, Joel, is, he impresses me with the Super Mario 64 speedrun he showed me, and I know he's like, well, I could do better and there's better times out there, but after seeing a lot of these videos of guys breaking world records, I was kind of curious to know, you know, if you could pick one accomplishment, you could even make it up, I don't give a crap, but if you know of an accomplishment or something out there, or someone that's destroyed a game or has a record out there, what would you want to be known for, like, for video game accomplishments or achievements? Is there something out there you'd be like, yes, I want people to remember me for this?
I want to beat Luigi so hard in Mario Party he just it just like kills him in every version of Mario canon, and he just vanishes from every single Mario game that ever existed.
What about Luigi's mansion? Would he disappear from there?
It never happened?
Okay, never mind. Forget so...
What if someone made a Mortal Kombat game with, like, Mario characters, and then you could beat the hell out of Luigi and see his brain splatter everywhere?
Oh, I was going to say, it is Super Smash Bros., but that would be, like, a mod. I'm sure someone could, like, do that.
More violent.
Yeah. That actually sounds like a pretty sweet game that you would get your pants sued off for creating. Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. No? I don't know.
If I had to pick a real one, probably just beating Mario 64 in under 20 minutes. Or winning a World Cup on Legendary with any country.
Has it never been done, or...?
On Legendary? I don't know, because there's someone who's, like, clearly better than me, who the farthest he got was the semifinal with England, where he lost, and he agrees, like, the game is so absolutely broken.
Yeah.
So we're just, like, in this crusade. It gives beating the game a new definition, because you actually have to fight against the flaws within the game, as well as actually play it.
Very good. So almost like a moral victory.
Yes, it's like out of principle. Show you, EA. I'm going to keep buying your games, playing them. That'll get you.
That'll show you.
That'll show you.
So what kind of, I don't know, I'm guessing horror game related accomplishment? I don't know, I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. It's, I think a video game accomplishment that Lessa and I would like to be known for, which we're kind of proud in a sense, because...
Well, it's based on a true story anyway. I mean, kind of-ish. I mean, we were there once. I know because during one of these Resident Evil 6 team events, Rena and I and a friend registered under the name Mercenaries, and it was only for the first day of the event listing, but our team came in third place in the world, which was, like, awesome, but that was only for, like, a day, even though all three of us, like, got up at the crack of dawn and started harvesting points and whatnot, which wasn't bad, because then by day two, we were actually 18th place, and then 26th place in the end of the whole game, and for us, it was still an accomplishment, seeing as that meant we were in 26th place out of 46,000 participating team number.
That's legit.
Yeah.
So it was like maybe like something like that again if I had to choose a video game accomplishment, and like it'd still be Resident Evil related, but I guess like to an extremist level, because I don't know, like being known for achieving a high rank or score during a team event, and because I mean while I haven't done any RE6 team events recently, once in a while I do sign on to RENet and then scan who's in the top place, and then I see names that I recognize, I'm like, oh, those peeps are badass, so I'd like to be in there once in a while.
What if you wrote a Resident Evil fan fiction that Capcom liked so much that they used it as the narrative for the new Resident Evil game?
Capcom never listens to the fans. That is improbable.
If they did, they would have so much awesomeness in it, and I would just rewrite the whole franchise.
It would be the most homoerotic Resident Evil probably of all time.
Really, zombies are coming up?
Yeah.
Play for like 3 hours.
I don't think zombies would be in there. It would just
guys
be Chris
are just
Redfield
hugging
and just
bed,
like
yeah.
taking his shirt off constantly.
Yeah,
and...
it was actually funny when Resident Evil 5 first came out, someone like made a forum and asked if Wesker is gay for Chris, because throughout the entire game he's just screaming, Chris! Chris! And I was like, okay, I'm sold. So.
It's a question we've all been asking.
Of course, I know. I go to sleep and I was like, oh, does he love him? I don't know.
Will they, won't they?
I can't sleep, I know. It's like a Ross and Rachel situation. Yeah. Are they going to get together or are they on and off again? I think myself, I would I kind of go between, say, I would love to be, I don't think it counts as a video game, so I'll put this as a bonus, but I would love to do, have like a set a record on a Addams Family pinball machine, because that's my favorite pinball machine of all time, and I would love to get a high score. I've had some really good scores. I've actually set like a couple of third place scores on machines that I've played on just luckily. Nice. But it's actually a pretty easy game to get to if you like have a good luck streak going. It's a lot of it's based on luck, but for a video game, I'll actually say an old arcade game as well. For I say Galaga. I know people say Galaga. I'm strange, but I would love to hold a world record in Galaga for high score, but I just...
Sounds like an ancient mythical creature when you say
that. Galaga.
You must slay the Galaga.
It is stealing our women and destroying our crops. It's like Trogdor, but...
Yeah,
right.
Burn down village.
Nice. He's burninating the countryside. But, yeah, I would love to just, you know, have a world record in Galaga, but nothing else really. Maybe Miss Pac-Man, but... Not Pac-Man, screw that dude. But Miss Pac-Man. Yeah. She's raising kids on her own, man. Pac-Man just left. Alimony checks all
you
the time.
You got a banging bod.
Yeah, I
see
mean...
that mouth?
I like my women like I like my pizzas. Round and yellow and with a pink bow. Wait,
with
that,
one triangle removed.
Nothing made sense in that statement. but yeah. I don't know. Did we get everyone? Did I miss someone? Are we good? Yeah?
No.
Alright, never mind. It's not my bad. We'll go ahead and move on. I know Joel's probably...
Oh, I want to beat Mario Brothers in under 6 minutes.
There, okay.
That one too.
There we go.
I had to get that out there.
So, I know Joel has been itching to twitch, so how about you go ahead and...
twitching to...
Just take it away, my friends.
Let me tell you.
All hail be to Helix.
I think some of our listeners maybe know what's going on with this. It is... Year 2 of Twitch Plays Pokemon, Return of the Helix. Our Lord has returned to once again guide us to the Promised Land, to the Elite Four. Although actually this year we selected the Dome fossil, so we have turned our backs on Helix, some could argue. A bunch of dirty domers.
Yep.
So we started the second run. For those of you who don't know, Twitch Plays Pokemon, the first run was Pokemon Red last year. Around this time, and it picked up a lot of steam, got super popular, had, you know, over 100,000 viewers regularly for a while, and people got really into it. It was really exciting and an interesting social experiment to see a bunch of random people from all over the world come together to control the single character and try to guide them chaotically through all these different challenges. It's been compared to, you know, the old saying, if you have 1,000 monkeys in a room with typewriters, they'll eventually come out with Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a bunch of random people together, eventually we'll get through and reach the goal. So we did Pokemon Red a year ago. That was just with the normal ROM. And then we've gone through each generation of Pokemon games, eventually getting to the newest one, I think, XY? Is that the 3DS version?
It was Alpha, or that was a remake.
Yeah, okay. Well, a remake of Alpha, Sapphire, Omega Ruby, or whatever.
Right, yeah,
first.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so yeah, they did that. So now it's been a full year, and we're back to Pokemon Red. The difference this year is it is a ROM hack where all 151 Pokemon are accessible. Within the game, you don't have to trade to get any additional Pokemon to fill your Pokedex.
So you can, like, catch Bulbasaur?
Yeah. Okay. Like, the very first route, like, Route 1, had, like, Pikachus and,
okay,
like, a bunch of weird stuff. That
you mean how the game should have originally been, because that would have made it, like, a bajillion times better.
Arguably. It's also much harder. Like, the gym leaders have way, like, and even all the trainers have, like, way higher level Pokemon and, like, more powerful Pokemon, and all the Pokemon stats have been, like, rearranged. Like, we have a Parasect right now who's, like, godly. It's, like, his stats are higher than Mewtwo's. Like, doesn't make any sense, but it's working in our favor right now because he's been a tank. So basically, we're on day 9, I think, right now, 9 or 10, and there's been some pretty good moments so far. We had a gym battle against Lieutenant Surge where we had his electric type was trying to hit our Diglett, but it only had electric attacks, which are ineffective against ground types, so it couldn't do damage to our Diglett.
Don't we have like 50 Diglets?
Yeah, they're like all the PC released or something, yeah. I don't even know. So the Diglett just like slowly scratching away over and over, and eventually it ran out of PP,
mm-hmm.
And when that happens, the game has you do what's called a struggle, where you just, like, do the minimum amount of damage. So I ended up killing this, like, level 41 Raichu with a critical hit struggle.
Awesome.
Which is, like, the funniest thing ever. Never seen that happen before. We had a very long ordeal with the spinny maze and the Team Rocket hideout. It was, like, painful. A two-day ordeal, yeah. Where we got through it, finally. Took like 12 hours, and then we accidentally went back up into it. This happened like 5 times. So we're finally out of that. We beat Giovanni. We're now in Lavender Town. And apparently we were trying to beat the Pokemon Tower, but we blacked out after nearly reaching the end. A few steps from a heal pad, apparently. This is live as of 6 minutes ago, so...
So, two things, I don't know if you mentioned, but yeah, that all 151 are available to be caught, and the goal at this point is implied, right, that they're supposed to catch all 151 Pokemon.
It's possible, yeah, the creator did kind of allude to that, and we've actually almost seen all 151, because, you know, they keep track of that, but we only have, like low 30s, I think, the amount we've caught, but he has implied, like, he's just said, like, you can catch all of them, so I'm not sure yet if we're actually going to try to do that, so it'll take a very long time.
Gotcha. And in a, it wouldn't be Twitch Plays Pokemon without a This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things moment. Last year, huge thing where they released Charmeleon, and this year, they had a Charizard.
Yep.
And things were looking good. You were at a PC for a long time, Twitch Plays Pokemon.
For no reason.
And you avoided the release of Charizard, but then for some ungodly reason, they went back like a third or fourth time, and through sheer unluck, bad luck, they released Charizard. Mm-hmm. So at Twitch Plays Pokemon, This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things moment. That was bad. That was painful to watch when I watched the footage.
It's just, it's no place for a Charmander or any evolution.
No starter will survive.
Yeah, no. So. But we got Parasect, and he's just plowing through everyone right now. So Reen and Lessa, I was wondering, like, have you been watching this at all or following it, or do you have any interest in it?
I'm interested in it, but no, I have not been following it. But if you tweet the link at me, I will follow it.
I will indeed do
it's
that.
Pretty good, yeah. It's going constantly, so
yeah.
You can, if you're like waking up in the morning and you're like, I don't have class for another few hours, just throw it on.
It's like the Truman Show. We're just all watching. Like,
yeah, it's really weird.
So enthralled. It unites us all.
It does. Well, I'll be curious to see how this goes. I mean, it's probably going to take a lot longer than last time.
It's going to take way longer, yeah. So we've got four badges so far. So at this point last year, we had like five or six. We were a lot farther.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Joel. We'll see probably next week if we record. They might still be going. Yeah. So.
Or even in 2 weeks.
Yeah, very good chance. So awesome. So the next topic we have, and this is our last one for the evening. It was a story, I can't remember, I think, Les, did you give us this one?
I did not know.
No, it was Reen.
It was me.
Okay. I couldn't remember what color it was in. I changed it to black. But we have a color coding scheme in Drive. No one cares. So
I'm herbal purple, if anyone cares.
A little bit of behind the scenes for
you. Here's a behind the scenes. In our Google Drive, or in our documents, we have each of us has a color-coded thing where we put the topics we want to talk about that week that we find in our color. And Reen is herbal purple.
Light purple.
Lot purple. Tim is blue-ish. That's me. Lessa is pretty pink. I don't know what question of the night is. That must be an old thing that we have up there.
I have no idea.
Scratch that.
Get that out of here.
She's pretty pink. And then Jolioliol is Red Dead Redemption. / she's red. But yeah, it makes sense. His is actually the only video game-themed color name for the document. All of us are lame. I could be Blue Blaze.
Blue Blaze.
Yeah, Blue Blaze Blue. Yep. And anything pink in there? Princess Peach pink? Pinky? Pink.
Princess Peach, but...
No. Pinky the Ghost from...
Oh, you could, yeah, you could be Pac-Man Pinky the Ghost. So, what is... Anything purple out there?
Purple, you got...
Pac-Man, yeah.
Could
you
do that.
You know.
Purple.
Waluigi.
What?
The best
no,
oh, Waluigi. We'll think of purple. We will do better for you listeners to improve our video game themed colors. It'll probably never happen. So, because I just copy and paste the standard template between docs.
This has been behind the scenes.
The worst behind the scenes. We're talking about color coordinated Google Docs. It's so dumb. So anyway, Reen found this article. Thank you, Reen. Of Turkey. It's a country. It's not just a thing you eat on Thanksgiving.
Bunch of turkeys.
Yes, yep. Formerly the Ottoman Empire. Turkey, apparently, is investigating Minecraft for being too violent. to which Reen says, lol, what? Appropriately. I look at these things and I think, this is fucking stupid. And I think most people in a country like America would agree, because we don't live in some sort of dystopian-esque country, according to most people.
Yes.
Some people disagree. But, I don't know. Joel, have you played Minecraft much?
Not really. I've watched enough of it to know that this makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you would go after a game that's, like, blocky graphics.
Right.
Like cartoonish violence at best. Like, do they not have like Call of Duty in Turkey? Why wouldn't they go after something like
that? I don't know. I didn't look and see what they've banned. You know, I'm sure they have a laundry list of games that have been banned if this is their standard. But I don't know, Reen, Lessa, you don't play Minecraft either, but have you seen like Let's Plays and things like that at all?
I remember Reen and I watched some guy's movie or video on, what was that, Reen? No, it wasn't Tobias, was it? Or
it was
the Sugarcane Family.
Sugarcane Family song.
I
have
no idea what that is.
That one.
Shrug.
I think, hold on, let me just double check.
Lots of shrugging going on over here.
I'll take your word that that's a real thing.
Yeah, it almost sounds like, you know, Charlie and the Candy Mountain sort of thing. I was like,
Candy Mountain!
Exactly.
I can see, what was that one game that was coming out where the one guy is like a crazy serial killer, he's going around and killing normal people? I can see how that one would be banned in like a country. Yeah, like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how that could be banned in like a country, but like Minecraft with like pixel people, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm the one here that has extensive experience with Minecraft. Alex and I have played that a lot with friends. I've probably logged 70 plus hours, which is not a lot compared to what other players have probably logged, but no, it makes no sense. And it's violent only in the sense that you kill things, You can kill anything from squid, chickens, pigs, cows, sheep, horses, and then things like zombies, creepers, skeleton men, giant spiders, and endermen, which are all real things, apparently, right? I mean, there is no reality.
You're going to walk outside and start thinking everyone's an enderman.
Right? I mean, there's no reality in this game whatsoever. But it is technically a survival game. But the survival only goes past, like, the first few nights. Then when you gather enough resources, it's just like, okay, I have a house, and I just gotta, like, make sure I'm not dumb enough to die.
Yeah, it promotes creativity, or, like, building stuff.
Exactly. And so I think that's the worst part about this, is children... Okay, so I hate talking about, like, protecting children from things, because that's not, like, a government's job, it's, like, a parent's job. But if you're gonna protect children from something, protect them from something, like we mentioned, hatred, a game like that, that is just, like, blatant, mindless violence against pedestrians that is, like, all about body count, as opposed to, like, protecting them from something like this that has benefit. Like Joel said, it's about creativity. I mean, it's called mind and craft, okay? There's two sides. You mine for resources, then you craft, and it allows people. I mean, I'm 28 years old, and I have a tough time crafting in this game because I'm not that creative. My mind is set in its ways pretty much at this point in my life, but a child who's still kind of, like, you know, growing mentally, it'd be great for them to express themselves in a game like this, and I don't know, who knows, in the future they could be the next captain of industry or, like, create something even better because they had this experience. Who knows? But you're taking that away from them, and that's the worst part. I think it's obviously a very narrow-minded look at violence, and I think, you know, history tells us that people are more afraid of things they don't understand. So I think that maybe Turkey just doesn't understand, or the government doesn't understand what this game is and what it's about. Maybe they just have a very bad opinion of Swedes. I don't know, because they developed the game. So they just don't like Swedish people. But, love their fish. But, thank you for snickering at that, Joel. But I don't know. It's stupid. That's just my short opinion. I have a lot more to say, more than what I've already said. But I don't want to take too much time with just soapboxes getting too uncomfortable. I'll just step down, but it's dumb. I hope that most people don't, you know, other countries look at this and just go, that's so stupid, and Turkey's just Turkey. Turkey gonna Turk.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Turkey's be so, Turkey.
Turkey, Turkey, so.
Gotta get Mario out of there.
I know,
jumping on Goombas, that's horrific.
I know, well, the,
that's murder.
The anti-Goomba violence squads in every country, man, they're hitting hard, so.
I got that petition going around.
I mean, Mario is the worst serial killer in probably all of video games, let's be honest. That's a topic for another day. So that was our last topic, and we actually are on pretty good time here. I did want to mention one thing, though, and this is something very near and dear to my heart, and I don't know if, Joel, you ever watched Invader Zim growing up.
A little bit.
Reen, Lessa, you might be, I don't know, have you ever watched Invader Zim?
Negative, Captain.
Okay. Amazing show. Possibly, it was like the animated Firefly in the sense that it was shut down before it had its moment to truly shine. Great cartoon that was on Nickelodeon years ago. Well, the creator, Jonan Vasquez, has announced that he will be collaborating with artists to come out with an Invader Zim comic series. And I'm just throwing this out there because if anyone listening is also a fan of Invader Zim and is not heard of this, got to get on it, because I've read a lot of stuff since it was canceled, and in Vasquez's head, he's already continued the series and is like, oh, I know what's going to happen, and everyone's like, what's going to happen? Because it stopped before we got any sort of conclusion. And so the comic is going to continue when the series ended. And for those that don't know, Invader Zim is about this alien that's sent to Earth to take over the planet. But almost like as a joke from his home planet, because he's kind of, you know, looked down upon. They're like, go conquer Earth, and no one expects him to do anything, but he's really trying hard to conquer Earth and is being thwarted by a child who knows he's an alien, but no one else believes he's an alien. Very funny show. I recommend you look into it, but I'm super excited about the comic, and I thought I want to talk about it because I was just about bursting, like, with excitement when I read about it. So
I like Gurr.
Oh.
It's a good character.
Amazing.
Also, the one episode I remember distinctly is the one where he Zim decides he needs, like, human organs to be healthy, or,
yes.
like, for people to think he's human, so he just goes around, like, harvesting them from this
dude.
Oh,
what was it called? Something Harvest. Dark Harvest or something, I think it was called.
Yeah, I don't remember the title, but by the end, he's just got, like, a pile of organs in his body, and, like, way too many of each thing.
It's a dark series, because he replaced, like, a girl's brain with a hamster or something, or a piece of cheese. Like, he would zap other objects into people's body and take their organs out. It's a very dark humor type of thing. But you mentioned Gurr, and Gurr is Zim's robot companion. And I think Rin and Lessa would love Gurr because he's hilarious. You gotta watch it just for that. I wanna see what Rin and Lessa you would think about the show just for Gurr's sake.
Jingly bells!
Yes.
Is that a Christmas special?
What episode does Gurr pop up in?
The first episode.
Okay.
Very first. And he is like, he makes the show, in my opinion. He makes it hilarious. Zim is like, weird and dark and serious, but Gurr is like, he is 100% id. Like, whereas Zim is like super ego, Gurr is like, I do everything I want, you know? It's like, he doesn't think, he just does, and it ends in hilarity. So, your homework this week, girls, is to at least watch an episode of Invader Zim, and if you don't like it, that's fine, but if you like it, we gotta talk about it.
Okay.
Alright.
And then you have to catch up on The Walking Dead.
Damn it! Alright, well, I can't do that this week, but I will find it on, if it's still on Netflix, which I hope it still is. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll try and catch up somehow. If not, I will find other legal ways. I'll find legal ways of watching it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So.
Okay.
Lots of nodding over here. Alright, well, that does it for our show this week. Enough ranting about Invader Zim. I promise this will only happen a couple more times in the next few weeks. But, thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast. I want to obviously thank our co-hosts for joining me again this week. Always a pleasure talking to you all. I hope midterms turn out well in your favor. May the odds be forever in your favor, sort of thing, with you ladies. And this is your last semester, right?
Second to last semester.
Second to last semester. Okay, so you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
It's pretty dim.
You gotta start real life.
Real life sucks. Stay in college, I'm telling you.
Stay there.
As long as you can. Don't you ever say that. Love it. Love Billy Madison. Well, I hope things turn out midterms and you come out lightly scathed or unscathed. And we'll see you guys back here next week. So thank you again, listeners. And as always, gamers around the world, game on. This has been All Systems Go.
Intro music provided by Wonderflux and outro provided by Labyrinth. You can find more information about All Systems Go at asgpodcast.podomatic.com or follow us on Twitter at ASG_podcast.